John 10, verses 1 through 6. Jesus speaks and says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation given here in this passage of Scripture. Guide the preacher and guide us all, Lord, that we might learn your truth today and learn about the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
When we were in Africa 2 or 3 years ago, it was not unusual to look on the hillside as we traveled down the road and see a shepherd standing there with a small flock guarding his sheep. And so even today, in many parts of the world, the shepherding of flocks of sheep is a significant part of daily life. It was even more significant back in Jesus' day when he was here walking the roads of Palestine than it is today. We who live in the city don't have the exposure that people back then had to sheep and shepherds. But the whole shepherd-sheep theme is very prominent throughout the Scriptures. There are hundreds of times in the Scriptures where sheep or shepherd or this whole concept is mentioned. And actually, in the sovereignty of God the Creator, this is an ideal picture, an illustration of the relationship between the people of God and their great shepherd. And one of the things that makes it so appropriate is the nature of sheep. Sheep are animals that have to be led. They are not independent creatures. They need someone to lead them, and they need someone to guard them, to protect them. They have a tendency to wander off and to get lost, to fall in holes, get stuck, and to wander out by themselves and come in danger of wild animals, such as wolves. Well, today we read the great psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," written by David, who himself was a shepherd, and who knew intimately the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd, for he was a shepherd. And as he thought about this, he knew that the Lord himself was his shepherd. And so he wrote those great words that are so precious to us. And many of us have memorized that psalm, especially in the King James. Well, throughout the Scriptures, the shepherd idea is presented. Sometimes the shepherds are negligent or even evil, and they're called to account, the shepherds of God's people, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 34. There, those who were supposed to be guiding and nourishing and tending the sheep were not doing that. Instead, they were taking advantage of the sheep and abusing them and killing them. And then the Lord says that He Himself is going to come and be the shepherd of these people and guide them and take care of them. And you remember when Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and He looked at the people of God, or the crowds that were gathered, and He was grieved because He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, wandering around with no one to lead them. Well, as we come to our text today, it's important that we consider the context in which Jesus began to teach about the Good Shepherd. And it follows that tremendous incident in John chapter 9 where Jesus heals the man born blind. Now you remember that He healed the man on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, didn't like what Jesus was doing. He was operating outside the box, and that upset them. And then He added fuel to the fire by healing this man on the Sabbath day. And so they were really upset about this and angry. And the man who was healed, who was restored, who had been born blind all of his life, who testified honestly and frankly to them about the man who had healed him, what did they do? They should have rejoiced with him and said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful that you've got your sight restored?" But no, they chastised him and said he was ignorant. And he didn't know anything. He was religiously stupid. And they kicked him out of the synagogue. So what kind of shepherds had they been to this man? They were terrible. Terrible. They acted totally opposite in the way they should have acted and treated him and cared for him. And so Jesus says this at the end of John 9. When the man worshipped, he actually worshipped Christ. John 9:38. And then Jesus says in verse 39, "For judgment I've come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." And the Pharisees picked up on what he was saying. You see, this blind man had had his physical sight restored and his spiritual sight restored because he became a follower and worshiper of Jesus. But they said, "Are we blind too? Are you saying we're blind, Jesus?" Well, Jesus says, "Well, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So in effect, he's saying, yes, you are. You're spiritually blind. And so it's in this context that Jesus begins to talk about the true shepherd and false shepherds. And what he's doing, he's really telling them that he is the true shepherd and they are false shepherds. Another thing we need to understand to really catch what this is saying here in verses 1 through 6 is the nature of the ancient Middle Eastern sheep pen. This is the way it worked. It was probably a circular pen made with rocks or perhaps other material. And there was a gate into the sheep pen. And the shepherds would be out on the hillsides around the village during the day so their sheep could graze. And then in the evening time, they would bring their flocks in from all directions. And there would be a man who had been hired, who was standing there, and he would let all the sheep come in to the sheep pen, and he would keep watch over the sheep the whole night. And the shepherds would go home with their family. And so the sheep were there in the sheep pen. They were protected. They were safe, for the most part, as the man guarded the sheep. And then in the morning, the shepherds would come out, and they would come to the entrance to the gate, and they would call their sheep. And all these hundreds of sheep which were milling around would hear their particular shepherd, and they would come out of the mingling, mixed flock and go towards their shepherd. It actually says here that he would call them by name. So, perhaps there was a general type of call where they recognized his voice, and it says he was calling them by name. So, whatever name he may have given all these various sheep, he would call out their names and they would come to him. So, it says here in verse 3, the last part of verse 3, it says, well, let's begin at verse 3. The watchman opens the gate for him. So this is like early in the morning. And the sheep listen to his voice. So maybe he calls out, "Good morning, little ones. Good morning, my precious sheep. I hope you had a good night's rest." And their ears would perk up. And they would move toward their shepherd. And perhaps he called them by name. "Hello there, baby girl. Hello there, spotted one. Hello there, short tail. Hello there, floppy ears. Good to see you this morning." And they would come. And he would lead them out of the sheep pen and head in the direction that he planned to take them for the day, for their grazing and for their water. Well, Jesus begins here at verse 1. And he says, "I tell you the truth." Now, the King James says, "Verily, verily," which many of us learned. So what Jesus is saying here, whenever he uses this term, he's saying, what I'm getting ready to tell you is of extreme importance. It's the truth. You need to listen to it. You need to take it to heart. You need to believe it. And you need to put it into action. And so he says, "I tell you the truth," or King James, "verily, verily, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." So, Jesus begins here in the negative. He begins to talk about illegitimate intruders who come into the sheep pen during the night. What do? They climb in over the wall, trying to escape the view of the gatekeeper. And why are they climbing in like that? Why are they hiding from the gatekeeper? It's because they have evil intentions. They're thieves. They want to steal a sheep. Robbers. They want to take sheep away. And so, there is this possibility that these thieves and robbers would come over the wall and they would steal a sheep. So they were criminals. But, Jesus says, on the other hand, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So when he comes in the gatekeeper knows who he is, welcomes him, and he has every right to be there. And so the watchman, verse 3, opens the gate. Says, "Good morning. Good morning, David. How are you? Your sheep are ready to go with you." And so he would call his sheep, and the sheep would listen to his voice. He calls them by name, leads them out. And then it says in verse 4, when he's brought out all his sheep, he would know exactly the number. You remember Jesus told the parable of the man who had 100 sheep, and one of them, 100 or 99, anyway, somewhere, I forget the exact number, but one of them wandered away. And he knew that one sheep had wandered away. So he left the 99, I believe it says, and he went to find that sheep. So he would know his sheep, he would know exactly how many he had, and he brings them all out. It says, when he has brought out, verse 4, all his own sheep, Now, these sheep belong to Him. They're His sheep. He goes ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Well, this is so interesting because the shepherd would lead the sheep, and they would follow him. The shepherd did not walk behind the flock, herding them the way you do cattle, but he leads them, and they follow his sheep, follow his lead. But it says here in verse 5, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So the sheep are so attached to their shepherd, they know his voice so well that if another person tries to lead them, it will scare them. They will not recognize that voice. They will not follow that stranger. They will run away from him because it is a strange voice. It does not resonate with them. And it says in verse 6 that Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. He's talking to the Pharisees primarily here, and they did not pick up on what he was saying. So he's going to give them more information in the following verses, which we'll look at next time. It says, Jesus used this figure of speech. It's a special word there. It's not the normal word that's used for parable, but it seems to have a similar meaning. It means an illustration. He's talking about sheep and shepherds because he's trying to make a point with these Pharisees to compare them with himself. Well, this is a very real story here of life, the way it was and the way it is among shepherds in some parts of the world. But let's consider, what is the truths that Jesus was seeking to communicate here? Well, first of all, there's the question of who is your authority? So, which shepherd should the sheep follow? Well, they're going to follow the one whose voice they recognize. That was the shepherd that had authority over their lives, who led them, who fed them, who took care of them. And there were these other false shepherds, these strangers. And they did not have proper authority over the sheep. So we have to consider this. Who do we allow to have authority over our lives? Whose authority do we submit to? Now, some people will say, I don't submit to anybody. Well, if a person says that, that means they're their own authority. They look to themselves, their own wisdom, their own intelligence, their own ingenuity, and their own resources to take care of themselves. They make their own moral decisions, what's right and wrong. They govern their lives like they want to. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. Their philosophy is, I'm the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my soul. And so these people go where they want to go and do what they want to do, and nobody's going to tell them otherwise. So let's consider that kind of attitude. What that means is people with that kind of attitude who do not want to submit to authority, especially the authority of the true shepherd, are putting themselves in a very dangerous position. They're saying that they don't want to be a part of the flock of the people of God, that they want to go out on their own without the guidance and protection of the Good Shepherd. So they're saying that they're going to go out into the world and they're going to take care of the wolf themselves. They're going to find their own pasture and their own water, and they're going to be self-sufficient. Well, you see, that's not going to work very well, because a sheep is not a very smart animal. A sheep on its own is going to fall into a pit, and who's going to pull the sheep out? Who's going to rescue a person who thinks that he or she is so smart and so strong that they can face the world without a shepherd? Who's going to get them out of the jams of life? Well, there's only one person in the whole world who has the wisdom and the right and the authority to be a shepherd over God's people, except Jesus Christ. He is the one who has been ordained by God to feed His people. Now, those who do not submit to the Great Shepherd place themselves in a perilous condition. They have to face the wolves of this world on their own. And there are many wolves out there. There are many things that can draw us to themselves. For example, there's the wolf of worldly pleasure. This wolf would lead us astray and say, come, enjoy this pleasure or that pleasure. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the consequences. Just take your fill of pleasure. Throw off all restraints. Enjoy life. Life is too short not to indulge. Well, what happens when the wolf of worldly pleasure consumes us? Well, we have pleasure for a season. Then things begin to catch up with the pleasure seeker. He or she may get addicted to a substance like alcohol or drug, or get some kind of disease because of their behavior. They neglect their family, their loved ones. They lose their job, all because they can't control their appetite. And they did not exercise self-control. And so they end up enmeshed, inundated in a personal disaster. And this is all because they thought they didn't need a shepherd to guide their lives. There's other wolves out there, the wolves of human philosophies that look to man and his wisdom as the ultimate answers to life. There's the wolves of false religions. Other shepherds who would seek to have followers after them. There's the wolf of materialism. And there's the wolf of just simply neglecting God. You see, it's very dangerous to try to negotiate the minefields of life without the wise leadership of a true shepherd. The true shepherd. Those minds are planted out there to destroy us, and He's the only one who can guide us through those minefields to safety. There's the thief and the robber. He climbs over the wall. He has no regard or love for the sheep. He's totally selfish in his relationship to the sheep. He has come in to kill and destroy. Now, there are many false shepherds in the world today. They're not looking for the good of the sheep, but how they can use the sheep for their own ends. They will lead people astray, destroy them, and kill them. Think about the chief false shepherd, Satan himself. When he entered the garden, his total purpose was to deflect Adam and Eve away from the authority of God and to produce a fellow rebel like himself. How foolish it is to rebel against the authority of God Himself. We don't want to run away from the good shepherd and place ourselves under the authority of a false shepherd. Look, for example, from history. Look what happened to the majority of the German population in the 1930s and 40s. They submitted to the false shepherd, Adolf Hitler, and their nation was destroyed. Thousands of them died in the war. Their cities were bombed. Hitler ended up destroying himself after he had led his nation astray. So who is our authority in life? It needs to be the true shepherd here, and not a false shepherd. Who is your authority? Who is your shepherd in life? Whatever shepherd we follow, we have to ask ourselves, is this shepherd wise enough and holy enough and powerful enough to guide us in the paths of righteousness, to deliver us from evil and from the dangers of this life? We have to be sure that we are following the right leader, the right shepherd. Actually, our life depends on what shepherd we follow. Our eternity is determined by which shepherd we follow. Ezekiel 34 describes the false shepherd in Israel. They were out to line their own pockets and to squeeze out of the people what they could for their own benefit. There in Ezekiel 34 describes what these false shepherds do. They take the wool for themselves. They kill the animals. They do not treat the injured. And the sheep are scattered on the hillsides with food as food for the wild animals. This is what happens when false shepherds seek to lead God's people and get in and decimate the flock of God. It's very dangerous spiritually and in many other ways to follow a false shepherd. They will lead a person to destruction every time. There's only one true shepherd in the history of the world who is wise enough and holy enough and mighty enough to lead us through life and bring us safely to His eternal kingdom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the only shepherd that God has sent into the world to lead His people and to nourish them and feed them and lead them into green pastures and still waters. There are many false shepherds that have appeared on the scene of human history, many of them in our own country, such as the founder of Mormonism, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and any other prophet in any other religion who usurps the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is a false prophet. He's a false shepherd. He must not be followed, because there's only one true shepherd who has come to lead God's people. Well, Jesus says here in John 10, His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. So, let us consider for a moment, how do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Now we know that a sheep recognizes his shepherd's voice. He recognizes the tone, the quality, the pitch of his master's voice. I'm sure every human voice is unique, like a fingerprint. And those sheep evidently have a very keen sense of hearing, and they can distinguish their shepherd's voice. But how do we, human beings, how do we know the voice of the true shepherd? Well, I want to suggest to you that we recognize the voice of the true shepherd speaking to us when we hear the gospel. When we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And He lived among us a sinless life. And He died on Calvary's cross and carried the sins of His people and was resurrected from the dead and appeared to His disciples over a period of 40 days. And then He ascended back to heaven and sent forth the Holy Spirit upon His people. So when we hear the gospel, the truth of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, this is the voice of truth. The Word of God. We hear the voice of the shepherd when we read the Word of God. And there's a crucial element here. I should say a crucial person involved in this. Not only the voice of the Good Shepherd, but the confirming witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the Word of the Gospel, who takes the Word of God and reveals it to our hearts and minds by His invisible, convincing, convicting work, so that when we hear the truth of God and the Holy Spirit confirms and affirms that in our minds, we say, yes, this is the voice of the Son of God speaking to me. The voice of the shepherd will never contradict the Word of God. Never. Never. If we think the Lord is telling us something, it's going to conform to His Word. If it doesn't conform to His Word, it's not His voice. It's some other voice. Now, there are times, in addition, when the voice of the shepherd can speak to His people in situations where guidance is needed. Now you remember, James tells us in chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely, and let him not doubt. Well, let me give you an example of the Apostle Paul. If there was ever a man chained to the text of Scripture, it was the Apostle Paul. And on his missionary journeys, as he was moving from Asia Minor, he was seeking the guidance of the Lord. And it says in Acts 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So somehow the Holy Spirit communicated to Paul and his companions that they were not supposed to preach in that area. And so they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, an unusual circumstance. But Paul was seeking to obey the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to carry the gospel to all peoples. And he was seeking the leading of the Lord. And in some special circumstances, the Spirit of Jesus let him know what direction to go. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that not every situation that we come across are we going to find a scripture and text to guide us. We have to be sensitive to the whole revelation of Scripture, to be sensitive to the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit and His impressions upon our minds, and check out what we feel like the Lord would have us do with the Word of God, and often it's very wise to seek the counsel of other Christians that we trust. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, actually it was about 6 years ago, I began to feel like we need to start a home Bible study, a neighborhood Bible study in our neighborhood there. And the thought just kind of kept coming back. It would not go away. And I concluded, I said, I believe the Lord is impressing upon me that I really need to start, we, Brother Wayne, a Bible study in this neighborhood. So I said, okay, I got to quit fooling around. I got to quit putting it off. I got to do it. So I made up 100 flyers, and I went and I distributed them one Saturday, I think it was, to 100 homes right around where we live. And we began in early June, more than 5 years ago, this home Bible study. And it's been a great blessing to those of us who attend. And so, in my desire to bring the gospel to some of my neighbors, seeking the Lord's direction, and this impression that I really need to do this, ended up in this ongoing Bible study. Well, so to know the voice of the shepherd, how do we hear the voice of the shepherd? We hear and speak to us through the Word of God, born by the Holy Spirit. And secondly, how do we recognize the voice of a false shepherd? We've got to do two things, right? We've got to discern the voice of the false shepherd, reject it, and listen to and cling to the voice of the true shepherd. False shepherds will contradict the Word of God in their teaching and their doctrine. So if a person claims to be a leader, a teacher, a shepherd, a religious teacher, we have to check out their teaching by the Word of God. If it does not conform to the gospel, to the Word of God, they're not to be listened to. They are a false shepherd who is seeking to draw people off to himself or herself and fleece the sheep. There are many fleece sheepers alive and well today in our society. People who are fleecing the sheep, who are seeking to take advantage of the people of God to get money from them, to lead them into false doctrine and deflect them from the true Word of God. Well, he says here that these sheep are his own. He calls them by name and he leads them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know the voice of the Son of God today? Has he spoken to you in the inner depths of your mind and heart? Has he communicated to you that he died for your sins, that he rose for your justification, that he's preparing a place for you, that he's coming back to receive you to himself, that he walks with you every day, that you can call upon him, that he loves you, and that he holds you in the palm of his hand, that you're his precious child now and forever? Has the Son of God spoken to you in the inner depths of your being and communicated his love and saving grace to you? If he has done that, if you've received that, you are, of all people, the most blessed person on earth. And so, if the Lord Jesus has come to you and revealed himself to you as your true shepherd, be a thankful sheep. Be a discerning sheep. Listen to the teachings that various shepherds are offering and cling only to those who line up with the Word of God. Make the Lord Jesus Christ your authority, your only shepherd. And He will lead you through life to green pastures and still waters. And on that final day, He will lead you safely into His eternal kingdom. Let's pray. We thank You, our Father, that You did not leave us as wandering sheep, having to wander on our own through life with all of its dangers and hazards, with evil and deception on every hand. But You are the true shepherd who came from the Father to lead us to Yourself and to guide us all the days of our lives. Continue, O Lord Jesus, to speak to us, to teach us, to reveal Yourself to us, and to lead us throughout our lives. We ask it in Your holy name. Amen. Amen.